Annalise four? Five. Thank you, Annalise. Oh, dear, dear, dear. I try to overestimate the age and of a child. That's why you got it back, because she was five and not four. That's what I was worried about. I'm going to try, but my cold is not cooperating very much. But we will plow through, because that's what we do. The scripture lesson, the New Testament lesson, is from the epistles this time. I do lean toward the Gospels on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis, but this reading from 2 Peter, which is also one of the lectionary readings, just spoke to me this week. So listen now for the Word of God, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything in it, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in living lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God? That stopped me this week, and we'll come back to it. Did you know that you could hasten the coming day of God? Waiting for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. This is the Word of God for us this morning. Thanks be to God. I was in prayer this week, deep in prayer, and for the very first time in my life, God answered. God said in a deep and faraway voice, "Yes." I was very surprised, but then I realized what an incredible event this was in my life. And I said, "May I ask you a question, Lord God?" And God answered, "Of course you can, my son." God, what is 1,000,000 years to you? 1,000,000 years to me is as only a second to you. Then I asked, God, what is $1,000,000 to you? $1,000,000 to me is as only a penny to you. Then, dear God, may I have a penny? And God answered, "Yes, just a second." Yeah, okay. That's one of those jokes that takes about 2 seconds. There are probably better ways to begin a sermon with the oldest of old sermon jokes. I like that joke there, and I'll bet you'll hear it again sometime from this pulpit, either from me or from someone else. In fact, I'll bet you've heard it before. I like that joke not only because it pokes fun both at our impatience and our greed, but also because it points out some profound truths, that God's time is not our time, and God's agenda is not our agenda. Where is Jesus? Where, in fact, is God? It's a good question. And Peter wrote this letter of 2 Peter, to people who were asking these questions. It was getting on toward the end of the first century, and these Christians were highly concerned that a whopping 50 years had passed, and Jesus still had not returned. 50 whole years. What's taking God so long? Peter reminded them that our time is not God's time. That's exactly what this text answers. With the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. And that's in the Psalms, too. By the way, he's quoting one of the Psalms. Where is Jesus? Where, in fact, is God? A whopping 2,000 years have passed, and Jesus still has not returned. War and violence and every bit of bad news that we could possibly name have never, ever stopped in our world. And I've noticed that at least my Advent sermons tend to include a lot of lists of bad things that happen. And I'm going to keep the lists short today. But where is Jesus? Children get sick or die. Where is Jesus? Their parents get sick and die. Where is Jesus? I want to keep that list short, but it goes on and on and on. Peter has an answer, or God has an answer for us here in Peter. And maybe this is a good answer for us this morning. Maybe it's what we need to hear. Peter writes, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance." Peter is saying that God is patient, so why are not you? God is patient. God is giving humanity time to repent and change our ways before the judgment comes. We therefore must do our best to live holy lives while we await the new heaven and the new earth where righteousness is at home. Clearly, righteousness is not at home in our world. We don't have to look very far at all. And if we're really clear about ourselves, we don't have to look farther than the tips of our fingers to see that righteousness is not at home. This is a fallen world we live in, and those who live under God's rule will never or should never fully be at home here. Isaiah has an answer for us as well from the lesson that Kurt read. And maybe this is a good message for us this morning too. Isaiah writes, "Comfort my people. Prepare a way in the wilderness. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people shall see it together." Isaiah is telling a broken and hurting people that God is coming with your salvation soon. So be ready. You have work to do, people, even in the midst of your hurt, your pain, your grief. Prepare the way, make a highway, for God is coming to comfort you and to save you. Both Isaiah and Peter talk to us about time this morning, and this is Advent. This is the time in between Christmas and the rest of the year. Advent strikes me as the perfect model, the perfect illustration of the entire dilemma of the Christian life, because this is the time of waiting. In the Christian life, we want to get there. We want Jesus to come back and make things right again, because we sure have made a muck of it and aren't going to be able to do it ourselves. In Advent, in the month before Christmas, we want to get to Christmas, and the children certainly do, so we light our homes and our sanctuaries. But Advent is the time of waiting. It is the dilemma of the Christian life. We want to be there. We want to be there now. But God says, no, not quite yet, my precious child. Don't be afraid. You will be there soon enough. For now, though, focus your energy on where you are. Be holy where you are. Make a difference. Be a blessing where you are right now. Don't worry. We'll get there, and we'll get there together. I promise. A little girl was working with her father to put up a swing set in the backyard. The instructions came in pictures, and the little girl couldn't wait to help out. It was one of those aluminum tube things. And Dad said, okay, you can help. You know about this, parents. You've had the children help. As she worked with the tools, and she discovered that the pieces didn't fit together too well. Tube A didn't fit together with tube B. And she worked harder and harder to make them fit. And of course, eventually, she started trying to bang them together. She wanted to work as quickly as possible because she wanted her swing set up and operating. 15 minutes would be nice, but that would extend the limit of her patience. It was then that her father said the words that she would never forget and would write about as an adult, where I read this story. Father said, "Don't force it." And then he showed her how to do it right. You know, this dad like all of us parents, could have gotten the job done a lot quicker without his daughter's help. Letting her help was an expression of several things. It was love and patience on Dad's part. It was a desire simply to be with his little girl and share this moment. And it was a desire to teach her how to slow down and do something right. And maybe this is how God is with us, helping us patiently along, knowing that the job will get done, just as Dad has the big picture in mind of every step of how the swing set's going to go up. God has the big picture, knowing that it will get done, and we will learn and grow, and it will all happen at the same time. Maybe God is waiting for us. Perhaps that's what Peter means when he urges us to wait for and hasten the coming of the day. I've read this passage and preached from it a number of times before, but I really stopped. I hadn't noticed before that we are to wait for and we are to hasten the coming of the day. So God does need our help to build this world. This is an ongoing lesson for us. We can and we should, and we do help move things along. And that's what our ministries and our mission beyond these doors are all about. We can find answers to some of our troubling questions, or partial answers, or partial questions. And we can certainly enjoy every bit that life has to offer us. But the father's word to his daughter are words for us. Don't force it. Keep working for God's world, but don't push. Let God keep the big picture. We must learn patience. We should learn to wait for God to move and learn to find the spiritual depth that allows us to wait for God's perfect timing at the very same moment that we are working with God to hasten the day. So in this Advent season, we can learn a lot about God's timing in our lives, just as the believers in the early church back there in the first century had to learn new lessons about Christ coming. Where is he? He said he was coming right back. So do we have to learn exactly the same lesson. So do we. Let's learn together to trust in God's own time. Trust that God will bring about the best results at the perfect moment. Until then, it's always Advent, this time of year and every day of our lives. Jesus is coming. Let's do everything we can to be ready. Let's pray. Gracious God, we do want you to come. We do want the world made right, and we want it right now. Teach us your time, Heavenly Father. Teach us how to do it right, side by side with you. Help us to live godly lives. Help us to live for others. And in doing so, help us to hasten the day when Christ will come again. All this we pray. Be with us in our observance of Advent, Lord God, as we wait and wait and wait. Amen.